911 emergency.
Like someone has broken into my house. I'm hiding in the closet.
They're in the house now?
Yes, yes they are. I just saw them walk into the attic. I have a...
Is it a man or a woman?
I think it was a man.
What's your name, ma'am?
Sandra Bullock.
All right, Sandra, I'm going to stay on the phone with you until the officers get there, okay?
Okay.
I want you to let me know if you hear or see anything at all.
I'm in my closet. I don't think I could see anything. I have a safe door in my bedroom, and I've locked it, and I'm locked in the closet right now.
Okay, don't hang up. I'm going to be dispatching the police, okay? Don't hang up on me. Do you have any weapons? Are you armed?
No, I'm not. I hear someone banging on the door.
I am the real Jason Bourne. Kim Kardashian is my baby mama. Those are just two of the wild new claims reportedly made by Justin Scott Masler, who once posted this rambling video on YouTube.
Hey guys, so this is a web video on the Second Coming of Christ. I actually figured out who it was. The Second Coming of Christ is Justin Scott Masler.
And while these sorts of comments might sound funny at first, artist Lenora Claire is certainly not laughing.
There's been explicit rape threats, death threats.
Hey lovely listeners, this is episode number 192, part two of our discussion with Lenora Claire about stalking, which we recorded live at CrimeCon in New Orleans. We had a Q&A session with our lovely live audience, and we also discussed some practical suggestions for those being stalked. This episode really is a must listen, and I also recommend that all of our lovely listeners check your digital footprint. That basically means Googling yourselves and checking your privacy settings on social media as well, as a bare minimum. So let's dive back into our conversation at CrimeCon in New Orleans and let us know your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter or IG. Please enjoy.
And Lenora has some very basic advice for what you can do with a friend. You were telling me about when they go down to get their restraining order.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So another thing I want to say, too, is that, you know, like Congressman Schiff has been amazing. He took my proposals to Department of Justice. They were delivered there. I got published in the Harvard Journal of Legislation. So these conversations are being had, but it's just not moving quickly enough. It's like not enough's being done. And kind of going back to, you know, what you could do to a friend. The first thing is listen, right? Because that's the first. We need to be heard. We need to be understood. We don't need to be judged. I had people in the beginning say to me, and I'm not making this up, well, aren't you a little flattered? I mean, doesn't it feel kind of nice? Like, he's, you know, he's not bad looking. It could be worse. And I'm just sitting here going, those are people I consider friends and feminists. And I'm just like, I cannot believe I'm having these conversations. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, you really need to have as many eyes on you as possible. All my neighbors know, they've all seen photos of him. So it's really, you know, we say with terrorism, and it's sort of been expressed that stalking is like terrorism to an individual. We should really have the same attitude, which is if you see something, say something. You know, the reason why I knew that he tried to get my dog was that I got very lucky that the groomer had seen the 48 hours and was like a weird man. Called about your, you know, so it's by people knowing what's going on with you, they're looking out for you is really important. Also, there's a lot of things that people don't realize. And let me tell you, if one more man mansplains to me and says, well, why did you have a restraining order, right? Like as if that's suddenly this magic thing that's just like this shield that protects you, right?
It's a piece of paper.
Please don't say that to somebody, right? But one of the things people don't realize is like, so I've gone and it's part of like the activism. I've gone with other women and we've made human shields. And by this, so in California, we have what's called the TRO, the temporary restraining order. It's 2 weeks. That's it. Usually, if people are having like a dispute, it blows over or whatever. However, if it's a more serious situation, you go in for the next restraining order. And also, restraining orders are very short. There's also no such thing as a permanent restraining order. People don't know that. Like even for me, now I have a criminal felony against my stalker, it's 10 years, right, which he's going to violate it anyway, but that's as good as it comes. So you're constantly in restraining order court, going back in, re-traumatizing yourself, retelling your story. But what I'm getting at with this, about what you can do if you have someone that this happens to. So what I've gone and done, because, and as I always say, like you go to Olive Garden, right, and you get like a little thing and it's like, ding, 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 your table's ready. So, right, when you go to get your restraining order, there's no such thing. You are waiting in the same room with your victimizer, right? So I always tell the story, and because I'll never forget this woman until the day I die. I was there waiting to, this time it was mine, I wasn't helping someone else, I was renewing my restraining order, and I saw her, and she had two black eyes holding a baby. And I don't know if the guy was her boyfriend or husband or whatever, kept turning around and just like mad dogging her, so she got so intimidated, she left. So after that, I was like, this will not happen again. So then I started getting women together, and I would go, and we'd literally make a human shield and sit around the woman right? As she's, because I never want to, so you can do things like that. These small things mean so much. And let me tell you, as far as being a victim and changing my narrative, that's what helped, just on a personal level, helps me. When I can look someone in the eye and be like, oh, hell, you know, you're not doing this. And so I've sort of, it's a small thing, but it's a major thing. So there are things that you can do like that for people around you. Also, just like basic understanding of technology. Like I said, things like don't click on suspicious links if you think they're at all tech savvy. If they're showing up places and you don't know why, like do a sweep. A GPS tracker you can buy for $50 on Amazon. This is very simple. This is, you don't have to be a tech genius to do this. And that's where it's, these crimes are going. They're involving technology now. So just, you know, try and educate yourself. Also, one of the things which we have to work on this and do something with it, you know, there's those content aggregating sites that put all your personal information. And if you ever Googled your name and address.
Like Spokio. Right. And all these, yeah.
Okay. So you can have yourself removed. They put you back on in 3 months. It is this, and I have literally written and been like, hey, someone's trying to kill me. Can you not? Like, I, you know, and they, so these are things we need to do something about that.
And I'll jump in. Always trust your instinct.
Right.
And I say that to everybody, whether you're a professional, whether you're a victim, if you feel something in your gut is not right, you override the professional's advice that you've been given.
That's
if
right.
you genuinely feel you're in danger, those of you who know me you'll know that I love dogs. Lenora loves dogs as well, and Lisa does. In our stomach, we have more brain cells in our stomach than we do dogs have in their head. Okay, we intuit things here. And unfortunately, this overrides it. The trillion calculations we make every second here overrides this. Every victim I've worked with, they've always known when they were in danger, and yet either they've overridden it or the professional has overridden it and said you're low risk when they've been risk assessing the case and they've been risk assessing it wrongly. So always trust your instinct. You have to collect your evidence, unfortunately. So screenshots, keep everything. Yeah. You absolutely have to keep a diary. If you're in the UK and you're a victim, keep the diary and also say about the impact that that event had on you. And notice I'm not saying incident, because it's a pattern of behavior. Yeah, victims will suffer 100 times before they report to the police, 100 times. So it's really important that we see that pattern. And for UK law, it connects to the offense, the impact that it has on you. And trusting your instincts, probably the most valuable piece of information, as well as the threat, the one in two. So training is a vital part. Obviously, Real Crime Profile really likes to ensure that we raise awareness through our podcast. And that's why I've been delighted over the last couple of days that so many professionals have showed out to me to say, you know, I'm a prosecutor, I'm a police officer, this is what I do for a living. And I've learned so much from you and the podcast. And so I think we're going to open it up to some questions because we've spoken for a long time. We haven't got a huge amount of time left and we'd love to hear from some of our listeners. So has anyone got a question?
And you can go up to these mics, and if you want to start a line, if you want questions, just go ahead and
thank you.
My question is, with the recent attention paid to privacy concerns and social media, do you feel that there have been any significant steps taken by social media companies in addressing stalking?
You first, me.
It's a good question. In short, no. You know, they will come to the table when something awful happens and they're brought to book on it. But in my experience, particularly with Silicon Valley and people developing apps, they only really get involved once something terrible has happened and come to someone like me to ask advice post. You know, Snapchat maps and all this kind of stuff, you know, it can be great for young people in particular if they haven't got a problem. But the challenge is when they do have a problem, then we're trying to close everything down afterwards. So in the main, no. And Lenora will probably add to that.
Right. So I was hired as a consultant by a major social media company. I signed an NDA, so I can't say who. And they asked me, you know, we are concerned. What can we do? And I said, well, first of all, I was getting death threats being I almost said what they how they transmitted it. I was getting death threats on this social media thing, and nobody was doing anything. And I said, you know, when I got verified on that platform, I sent in my ID and I got my little check that verified me. Don't figure out who I'm talking about. And so I said, why can't it be that I can just also do the same thing and show my restraining order? Because here's the thing people don't realize, right? So it's a violation if you contact someone during the restraining order, right? But let's say they tweet, Instagram, Facebook you under a different name, okay? You have no way to verify that that is in fact their IP. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if you get law enforcement to care enough to petition a judge to issue a warrant for a subpoena, talking 3-4 months later, then they go in and get you this IP. And by the way, this rarely happens. This is not happening.
Because they have to deem it to be a credible threat to your
life. Right. And
that's
mine are graphic. if you saw my threats, I mean, I'm going to rape you, I'm going to kill you, this man, or they could not be more specific. And they don't do anything for that. And so I even said to this company, I was like, why don't you do what I'm telling you to do, which is if you send in the restraining order, you just voluntarily give me the IP. It's not that difficult. And I said, you thank me for this, because if you don't, there will be a murder. You will be civilly sued by that family for many millions of dollars. So let's just go ahead and save that person's life and save you the million. And no, they did not do it. I also had an idea to prevent gang stalking, which is a thing. Some people are like, oh, gang stalking does happen. You know, we've seen with Gamergate, you know, they'll go on Reddit and 4chan and actively do stuff like that. I had that happen to me when my Vice article came out. I don't want to say the organization's name, but they're particularly terrible. They put me on a rape list and they tried to dox me, you know? And so this is a very real thing. So when you're talking about social media, these are things that, but look, we saw the Facebook hearings and we saw that it was a bunch of old dudes who don't really understand things, so we really need to get on this and rapidly.
She says it all started very innocently.
It was 2011. I just opened up an art gallery. I'd gotten a lot of press. I was one of the LA Weekly People of the Year. I was at the gallery one day, and this guy shows up, I kid you not, in a spacesuit, which I thought was kind of funny and strange.
The quirky man called himself Cloud Star Chaser.
He comes up to me, we have a little conversation. He tells me that I remind him of Lilu from The Fifth Element, that I'm a supreme being. And then he looks me in the eye, and it was just so chilling, I'll never forget it. And he goes, and I'm gonna stalk you.
Next question, you got a lovely Real Crime Profile
t-shirt.
Oh.
first, I wanted to say congratulations on your engagement.
Oh. That's so nice. Thank you. That's so sweet.
I'm curious about your plans for November when he gets out.
And right.
Also, since he's been diagnosed with mental issues,
and yeah,
they're working with him now to address it before he gets out to maybe lessen his...
Right. So the thing with psych medication, you know, is it's not, oh, Willy Wonka everlasting gobstopper. You know, you take one once, it doesn't last for life, right? So the minute that he goes off his meds, he returns right back to that state. So that's part of the problem. You know, it's a very broken system. I mean, I can sit and go, you know, we fail the mentally ill. Like, first and foremost, there's that issue. As far as my personal steps, I'm in the process of moving to a very secure building, you know.
Don't say where.
I'm not saying where.
Yeah.
Right, but just, you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly it. It's like, I try and lower my risk to the best of my ability, but this is something I'll be dealing with for the rest of my life. You know, this is not something that he's been stalking. For me, it's 8 years. He's been stalking Ivanka even longer, and then girls from his high school even longer than that. So I'm well aware that this is not ending for me.
And having psychiatrists, psychologists trained in stalking, because again, it is a very specialist area. You know, in the UK, we probably have now in the region of 50 psychiatrists, psychologists trained specifically in stalking. And actually, the Australians have led the way around stalkers and the clinics for stalkers. And that's really important that we have clinics and one-to-one treatment. They're not good putting them in groups, like domestic violence perpetrator programs, because they say they're the people who have problems. They're the ones who are physically violent to their partners. Me, I just sent a few messages, you know, and they can be very disruptive. And some of them are psychopaths. You know, we don't screen enough to know really what someone's psychopathology is. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, people say, well, erotomania isn't treatable. But I think, you know, case by case, you have to look at and spend a lot of time with an individual. Mm-hmm. And it's all very well and good medicating them in a facility. But as Lenora said, once they come out and they're not under any supervision, and that's why we have to get them on a register, mm-hmm. so that their history follows them. And it follows them if they're in Illinois or whether they go to Texas. It follows them. And law enforcement joined those dots, because we heard about Dirty John, mm-hmm. all the different states who had intelligence information on him, multiple restraining orders all being breached. And why is it that lifesavers, women savers, everyone's having to put intelligence and information out there? Why isn't it law enforcement doing that? Public protection is part of their job. Right. So please sign the petition that we have in the UK, and you'll hear more from Lenora and I about work that we're doing around serial perpetrators here. So next question. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. You had mentioned that he comes from a well-to-do family. Are they funding his activities? Have they cut him?
Great question. So I found out he got $1 million when he turned 18. So that he's never worked a day in his life, and he spends his entire life stalking and harassing people. Absolutely. I know his path. Like, here's the thing. So because his crazy ramblings, I always say, like, I'm the Rosetta Stone to his insanity. I can differentiate what words mean the way that law enforcement can. By nature of all this, I track him, right? So I know his father is a lawyer in Los Angeles. When he runs out of money, he comes to L.A. Then suddenly he gets this infusion of cash. His mother was interviewed on the 48 Hours, if you want to see her. You know, that's the thing that kills me, is that they have resources. There is no reason that this has to be. And she looks right in the camera, and she's just sort of like, he's troubled, but a good boy. You know, and it's like, that's not what's happening. So, yeah, I mean, but and then people will say, why don't you civilly sue them? And the thing is, you know, he's not under a conservatorship. So it's like, I can't sue you if you have a relative who does some crime, right? It doesn't work that way. So that's the problem with that.
And by the way, stalkers lie. I'm just putting that out there. You know, right. So when we just rely on their account, right, and we don't corroborate what's really going on, because professionals, right, do that, by the way. Psychiatrists, yeah, do that. And you always have to double check, speak to the victim, speak to the advocate, find out what's really going on. They're manipulative, they're deceptive. Yes. Some of them lie by omission. I've worked many cases where they lie by omission. Okay, that's still a lie, but either by commission or by omission. If you leave out really what's going on, they just give you these broad beats. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to challenge and question everything as a professional. And too often we're so busy challenging the victim's narrative that we're letting the perpetrator off the hook, and we're allowing them to control the narrative and own the narrative. And you know what we, certainly Jim and I and Lisa, feel about that on Real Crime Profile. So real, really, you know, important stuff that professionals do take these cases seriously and challenge the perpetrator. We've got a few more questions before we close. Go ahead. Hi there.
Hi. First of all, I'm sorry that you're going through this.
Oh,
I really am.
Thank you.
And Laura, yeah, I want to thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank
my
you.
My question is, I know we're frustrated with law enforcement about, you know, the fact that they don't listen to things like this, but isn't it more, and I'll pose this to you, Laura, do you find that it's more to do with resources also, that when they have missing people and dead bodies and those command so much more attention, right, wrong, or indifferent, do you find that, you know, it's difficult to elevate stalking to that level to garner the attention? They just don't have the resources, I feel like. It's a multi-pronged approach.
Good question. And actually, in every law enforcement session I run, resources comes up, right? Because there is a challenge there. And I have every sympathy for law enforcement. I've been there at the sharp end, managing many, many cases. And it is a challenge. But the one thing I always say is believing someone costs nothing, right? And that's the biggest challenge right now, is that victims are not being believed and they're being dismissed. Please look at Shana Grice's case, where she reported multiple times in the UK and they actually gave her a fixed penalty notice, a fine for wasting police time. Okay, so that is about attitude. You could say it's about lack of police training, and there's a resource challenge there. But I do think, you know, most of the cases I review, it's about lack of belief and dismissing victims and saying things like, well, what do you want us to do about it? Well, the problem with that question is that your judgment is that the victim knows everything about the criminal justice system and therefore can give a valid problem-solving approach to their own situation. And they cannot. That's why we need advocates. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I will say, it's not just the police. I mean, there's lots of other professionals. It's the mental health professional. It's the psychiatrist, the psychologist. If you get them to understand, then you've got to get the prosecutor to understand. You get the prosecutor to understand, you've got to get the judge to understand. So there's lots of places it can fall down. And that's really why specialist independent university accredited or college accredited specialist advocates are really important for stalking. So not just a resource issue. So one or two last questions and then we're closed. Hi there.
Hi. Just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of Real Crime Profile. So thank you for all that you do and for people coming forward and with their stories so we can really learn and try to help others.
Thank you.
My question is a situation that I found myself in as far as trying to help someone. I'm a real estate agent and I have a client who is trying to move because her stalker is her, you know, across the street from her. So I just wasn't sure if there was any, I mean, I've listened, I learned a lot, but obviously no expert in this. And I have ideas of how I can best help her, but I just wasn't sure if there was any tips or advice that could, you know, as far as helping someone who's in that situation, trying to get them, you know, in a safer place.
Yeah, very difficult to give, you know, specific advice to a particular situation. And why I say that is because you really need to know everything about what's going on. You know, a risk assessment can take 3 hours. So I'm going to be very generic in terms of the golden rules in her trusting her instinct. And you listening, being non-judgmental, all the things that Lenora talked about, collecting evidence of what's going on, you know, checking your social media, your digital footprint, so that you're not putting things online that make you less safe. And if people really feel they do want to move, you know, I haven't got a problem with that, but I do have a problem with just hiding people, because if it's true stalking, that individual will find them again at some point. So I don't know if it's been reported to law enforcement,
she
but to go on.
She has a restraining order, but
she has.
He still comes over and knocks on her door, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, getting good practical advice, going on the Paladin website, I would certainly recommend that.
Okay.
But cases are complex. You know, we could spend an hour or 2 days just talking about digital and cyber. We could spend 2 days talking about the psychopathology of stalking. We could spend, you know, on one case, like I said, you really need to know everything about the detail of what's going on. Otherwise, it's quite dangerous to give specific advice without knowing the true circumstances.
And you have to stay safe too, right?
Absolutely.
You've got to stay safe.
Lifelines who can be seen as getting in the way. You know, and lots of victims of stalking lose their network because they then start getting targeted and people say, well, this is just too much for me, or we're going to stop inviting Laura out because every time she's out, there's a problem, or, you know, she's changed her personality. She's not fun anymore, or, you know, she's only burst into tears or gets very jumpy or nervous. So being a good friend and being a lifeline and signposting people to good practical advice from hotlines and advocates. So I'll be happy to talk a little bit more about that case specifically after this session. So thank you for being a good friend to her and being a lifeline.
Yeah,
and looking at the DASH risk assessment, you know, and the stalking risk assessment specifically, and answering the questions so that you know where she is on risk would be very helpful.
Great. Thank you so much.
And real estate wise, I'd say make sure there's good street lighting. You know what I mean? For safety. Just because that was something I had a discussion with we just moved into a secure place and just stuff like that. And it was actually ironic. My real estate agent, usually they post like, I just sold a house for so-and-so. And she's so conscientious of my situation as to not have. So just, you know, just respect to privacy. But
I've already thought about like, okay, how can I do this as privately as possible?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Because I know you have to, you file stuff.
And her workplace. Yeah. You know, whoever's her manager, if there's a reception, knowing what he or she looks like and this person cannot come in. We see a lot of cases where something terrible happens in the workplace and then people call it workplace violence.
Yeah.
No, these are stalking cases.
That's right.
So again, just target hardening as much as possible.
Lenora was eventually granted a 3-year restraining order against Masler.
I just want to live my life, you know, and not feel the threat of someone coming to kidnap me, rape me, or kill me.
One last question, then we have to wrap.
Hi. I kind of have a two-part question. I work in the probation department, and one of the things that's really frustrating is with domestic violence offenders, a no-contact order is just a paper, and there's not a whole lot that we're able to do about things like no-contact orders. And I've seen a case where someone continuously violated that no-contact order and ended up kidnapping the woman and their newborn child. And then he got a little bit more of a sentence, finally. But is there anything other than the registry that you think would be beneficial to the system with trying to prevent violence from happening?
I mean, my view is that there needs to be protective orders that place positive obligations on a perpetrator. And that's very different from restraining them, that's prohibitive. You know, I would like to see that if they start a new relationship, they must tell law enforcement. If they move, if they change their name by DPOL, because that happens a lot in most stalking cases, so that we start to close them down. And therefore, if we have that kind of protective order that has positive obligations, we can recall them when they breach one of those positive obligations, going on a perpetrator program that's specialist to stalking. You know, and creating programs, because there aren't really that many specialist clinics across the world. There's Australia, London, we have one. We have now three across different other parts of the country. I'm not aware of any clinics in the US, but it is a very specialist area. And therefore, if there's any breach, then you know, they get recalled or they have to go back to the secure unit if they're not taking their medication. And you know, placing them on that register can be a deterrent. People and stalkers do not want to be called stalkers and they do not want to be placed on a register. So that in itself can be a protective factor. And you know, you heard Lenora talk about developing and using technology.
The ankle monitors.
To manage. And for me, it's all about closing down their space and their opportunities. But we are so focused on closing down the victim that we're not even getting into that conversation. So I'm glad you said you're a probation officer, because you're another key part of understanding really what's going on and not listening just to one version of it, but to checking and corroborating everything, the whole picture, the whole narrative. Did you want to add anything?
I was going to say, like, with the ankle monitors, people said to me, well, they're not foolproof. You know, you can slip them off. And I'm like, you know what? Condoms aren't either, but they're 97% effective, and I'm going to use one, right? Condoms slip off too, right? Whatever. You know, and especially they don't realize with the idea of sort of elevating the ankle monitor to the, with the addition of the app for the victim, it's giving the power in your hand to self-monitor is so valuable. And everyone's like worried about privacy. And it's like, no, we're not monitoring everything they're doing. It's just in proximity to the victim and the violation, right? So that small little bit of technology we have in our phone, our GPS, could do so much. Just what it would mean to me as a person to know if you're within 1,000 feet of me, I'm going to know. So valuable. You know, and also with probation, too, some of the probation terms are tricky. Like, on mine, when he gets out, if he's caught so much as Googling me or whatever, he gets in trouble. But you know what? He could just go to a library and use that computer. So I understand that, you know, people are just trying to do their best, and it's not perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, and restraining orders are just that piece of paper. And again, on Paladin's website, we have specialist advice. And when we train prosecutors, police, we talk about what does a good restraining order look like? Because about 80% of them are not even worth the paper they're written on. And I mean that in terms of what's specified. There are just so many issues that let the stalker off the hook. And then you probably get, I mean, certainly in the UK, about 90% of restraining orders are never even enforced. So when they breach, the message to them is carry on, and the message to the victim is you don't matter and it doesn't matter. So the messages that get sent out are a challenge right now. So thank you very much for your last question.
Thank you, guys. This has been so great. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you all to our listeners and to those of you in the room. We really appreciate you and value you. If you appreciate and value what we do, please do leave us a 5-star review, because it helps other people find us. And there'll be other victims out there that this podcast would be really important to, and to professionals. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yay!
And for now, this is Real Crime Profiles signing out.
If you like our podcasts, there are a few things you can do. You can take 2 minutes and go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. You can also check out all Real Crime Profile offers and promotions and our sponsors in our show notes. Another thing you can do is go to Facebook and like our Facebook page, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Real Crime Profile without the E. And one last thing, please tell your friends, family and colleagues about us and spread the Real Crime Profile word. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate all of our listeners.
Real Crime Profile is produced and edited by Paul Francis Sullivan. Sound engineering by Mike Thal. Music is composed by Simba Tsumba. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Real Crime Profile is produced by XG Productions and distributed by Wondery.
For advice and support if you're experiencing stalking in the UK, you can contact Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service on 0203 866 4107. Or you can go to the website where there's a lot of information and advice that you can follow on www.paladinservice.co.uk. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, you can call the National Domestic Violence Helpline for free on 0800 2000 247. In the US, if you're experiencing domestic abuse and need advice, shelter or counselling, you can call Genesis, the 24-hour hotline, on 214 946 4357. You can also go to their website for further advice or support, www.genesisshelter.org. And there's the domestic violence hotline on 800 799 7233.